May we help to commence this morning's service by singing together hymn number 232. Hymn 232, tune Laudat Dominum, 910. Be gone, unbelief. My Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Hymn 232, tune Laudat Dominum, 910.
Thank you.
Let us read together from God's holy word two portions. The first to be found in the general epistle of James, chapter 4. The general epistle of James, chapter 4, and then we will read Matthew, chapter 10, verses 25 to 33. So firstly, James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let us now turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew 10. Reading from verse 25 through to verse 33 inclusive. Verse 25 of Matthew 10. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Leave the reading there. May the Lord help us to pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, dear Lord Jesus, we ask for thy drawing, thy leading and teaching, and the purification of our prayers, that we might come acceptably in and through thy spilt blood, dear Lord Jesus, unto a holy, holy, holy God, Thou knowest those portions that we have read, dear Lord. How searching they are. And yet what blessed assurance is also in the same words. But, O Lord, do we profess thee before men? Wilt thou, dear Lord Jesus, profess us before thy heavenly Father? Do we know to do good, but do it not, it is sin? O Lord, thou knowest thy word searches out. Thy word we read is as a two-edged sword. It divideth in sunder. Lord, it divideth in sunder, not just between the sheep and the goats, but Lord, it pierces through our soul. It separates sin from that which is acceptable in thy sight. And there seems such a little left on the one side and such a lot on the other. O Lord, we ask for thy gracious influence, that thou wouldest put down sin, that thou wouldest subdue it, Lord, that thou wouldest purge us with hyssop, that we may be clean. Thou knowest, Lord, we never would have thought one day that we would thank thee for the piercing sword of thy word. That separation of the things of God from the things of this world. And we are then reminded as we speak, Lord, of that which we have read, the friendship of the world, the adherence to these things of the world. It comes close, Lord, but it's enmity against God. It cannot be plainer. Oh, Lord, please make me right and keep me right. And may it be the prayer of each dear soul here. And those that may be, dear Lord, too young to pray for themselves, or feel unable to pray for themselves, may we be enabled to pray for them, dear Lord, after that example of thine own dear self. For thou didst pray for thy dear people, Lord. Father, I will that all those that thou hast given me also be with me where I am. And we'd say amen to thy prayer, dear Lord. And we'd plead, Father, Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, precious Jesus, work thy sovereign work of grace in each soul, from the very youngest, the babes in arms, up until the eldest, Lord, and from the eldest down to the youngest. Leave not one out, dear Lord. Thy word can enter in, whatever the age be. Thy precious word, that river that flows forth from under the threshold of the sanctuary, that river of life, can touch first the feet, the ankles, turning each one heavenward, the knees causing each one to bend on bowed knee before thee, the loins causing there to be that separation and that war within the breast between, oh Lord, the lust of the flesh and heavenly things. And until we're brought, dear Lord, to swim in that ocean fullness of thy redeeming love. Oh dear Lord, what a precious word. There is so much in thy word, Lord. Oh, may it be food for our souls. Food for the souls of each one. Lord, thou didst say, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Lord, we ask that there might be that feeding of the sheep and of the lambs this day. And dear Lord, thou knowest where each one is, whether in the sanctuary or unable to reach thy sanctuary. O Lord, we would observe thy word, forsake not the assembling of the saints together. But there are those unable, Lord. Thou knowest where they are, for thine eyes upon all thy people for good. Lord, do go to them. Do, Lord, work in them. And, O Lord, if there's any that listen in, may they be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, thou knowest also our brother Deacon where he is preaching this day at Leatherhead. Help him, Lord. Oh, Lord, give him that word to speak. May he and they be able to feed upon it. Lord, be with him and his. And thou knowest our varied pathways, Lord. How we need thee to appear for us. Lord, we would not put the things of this life before spiritual matters, Lord. We plead firstly for thy work within our breasts. But Lord, we would lay all these things at thy feet. Thy word says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And Lord, thou knowest what those all things encompass, dear Lord. We remember an aged servant of thine many years ago, saying in his prayer at a prayer meeting, and Lord, teach the young that all these things include a wife. And he went home, Lord. You made now, Lord, go home. In souls here, Lord, that all these things includes those relationships in life. They include those exams they have to take. They include the pathways that they are to choose. They include everything. There's nothing left out of thy word. And all things are put under thy government, for the government is upon thy shoulders. And so there's nothing, dear Lord, that we cannot lay at thy feet. Praying with the psalmist, but do thou for me, O God the Lord. So, Lord, we would commit all, each dear friend. Lord, we would commit each pathway. We would commit this church and people into thy hands, pleading, do thou for me, for us. O Lord, O God the Lord, do great things, Lord. Make this corner of thy vineyard fruitful, Lord. Get the honour and glory from each one planted here, Lord. Lord, may we bring forth fruit abundantly. O Lord, it is thy work alone. And we plead, let thy work appear unto thy servants, thy glory unto their children. Oh, come quickly, dear Lord Jesus, and work within our breast, work within our midst, and get the honour and glory, dear Lord. And thou knowest, Lord, we are instructed to pray for our rulers, and those that are in authority over us. O Lord, there are those amongst our rulers that have of late spoken out to confess their faith in thee. Thou knowest them, Lord. They that honour thee, thou wouldst honour. Lord, do help them in their pathway. Do bring them up, one might say, through the ranks. Lord, cause there to be those God-fearing leaders put in authority over us. Cause there to be that work which thou art pleased to both begin and carry on in the breasts of our leaders, that thy fear might be placed in them. O dear Lord, thou knowest those that are thine, and yet solemnly also, dear Lord, as we think of those mentioned in thy word, there was a Saul anointed by thy prophet to be king, solemnly, not one of thy children, but did great things for Israel. There was another Osiris raised up, Lord, and so thou raises up one here and there to help thy people, to promote thy work, and yet how solemn not to have thy work within their breast. Oh Lord, it comes close. And may we plead, Lord, don't let me be such a one. Lord, may I truly know the work of thy Holy Spirit within. May I truly be kept, not left to turn aside, not left to fall. O dearest Lord, keep us, Lord. And we plead thy prayer, Father, keep those that thou hast given thee. Though in the world, not of the world. Lord, keep us. Heavenly Father, keep us. Holy Spirit, move within us, that we might be truly kept and wrought upon to thine honour and glory. And so, Lord, thou knowest all things. We prayed, Lord, subject to thy holy will for our leaders. Thou knowest the war in Ukraine. Lord, we plead. Help, Lord. Help the just cause. Help there to be that right defence of their land, Lord. But oh, get thee honour and glory in it, Lord. May there be the using of these things for the saving of never dying souls, Lord. And could it please thee to bring about a lasting peace? Oh, thou knowest thy holy will in it all, Lord. Oh, do please arise and help. And now, Lord, we would humbly acknowledge thy ways are so far above our ways, and thy thoughts above our thoughts. Purge, Lord, our prayers from that which is not in accordance with thy will. Lord, favour us to be led by thy Holy Spirit to ask those things that are in accordance with thy will. So help us, Lord. And now as we continue our worship with a red sermon, Lord, we plead for thy help. We plead for the word to be made a living word and to be applied into ground prepared by thee within our breasts, Lord. Cause thy word to enter in, Lord, and to do us good, to thine honour and glory. Help thy servant coming up amongst us this evening hour. Give him that word to speak, Lord. Lord, may the worship in thy house this day be thy work in our breasts, returning the honour and glory unto thee, that thou mightest in heaven above look down upon that which thou hast done, thy work, and behold, it was good. Carry on thy new creation within us, Lord, and may it be thy work which is acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we commit it all into thy hands, pleading, get the honour and glory from these poor hearts of ours. We ask for thy precious holy name's sake, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. the notices for the opening week. Father God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Lord's Day evening. And as help, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service next Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. And God willing, there will be a church meeting held on the 5th of June, Monday the 5th of June, to commence at 6:30 p.m. May we now be helped to continue our worship singing together hymn 133 to the tune Lubeck number 700. Hymn 133. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Hymn 133, tune Lubeck 700.
Thank you.
has helped, I will read a sermon preached by Mr. Reg Jupp in 1982 at Horam Chapel. The text you will find in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, and verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear friends, we have set before us, both in the reading of the scripture in the fourth chapter of James, and the text now given, of sacred truths. There are a combination of sacred truths concerning the necessity of the grace of humility. Oh, how desirable it is that we might be favoured to be the subjects of gracious humility, to be more conformed to the great head of the church. Consider him, my friends, both in his deep humility and his love and affection for his dear people, and what he went through on their behalf. Now we do not want to be left to be believers of the letter of the truth, though we reverence it and believe in it. But oh, to be favoured in some humble measure by living faith, to behold him as our pattern and as our exemplar. Also to be privileged to have the grace bestowed upon us to be humble. And undoubtedly in the Apostles' day there was something significant whereby they were called to walk in, and they were under the mighty hand of God, not with that fear of him that condemns them, God forbid, but to the contrary. I realize, dear friends, we must be faithful to the charge which we hope the Lord has laid upon us, that there is a teaching, and probably more in one's early experience, that the mighty hand of God is upon us in conviction, whereby one is confronted solemnly so with an angry God, a God of justice, a God who cannot look upon sin but with the greatest abhorrence. And we which were the subject of this teaching, and a measure of fear and anxiety and perplexity in our heart in relation to it, and to the realization of the almighty being of God, I speak reverently. It is but just a little we know by divine teaching and by divine revelation concerning the mighty hand of God. But I feel, in the process of time, And as we may, not in their own estimation, I mean, but when by the grace of God and under the teaching of God, the Holy Ghost, there is a deepening of the work, a measure of progress made. They come into this path of trial, of sorrow, of affliction, and many other things that I am totally unable to enumerate. A time of anxiety and care. Nevertheless, it is a mercy. There is provided a throne of grace. I do not know what we should do without the throne of grace. Yet we become so guilty. Sorry, friends, I've turned over two pages. I'm totally unable to enumerate, but friends, I believe there is a supreme purpose in being brought under the mighty hand of God. To feel it, to realize it, as we may look at it correctly. There are things in particular when there is no terror in it. But I can tell you this, that if we come under the light of his teaching, we shall be found searching our hearts and our ways. And there will be a revelation undoubtedly of where we have fallen, where we have been the subject of shortcomings. And hence this produces in the heart humble confession before this mighty God, and a seeking of true evangelical repentance. And further, my friends, to be favoured to realise the pardoning love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have ever felt in your little life prior to this and entering into this rich blessing, you will seek that the Spirit of God will lead you afresh into the atonement of Jesus. And friends, there is another field that I feel I need grace to be given to me under the dispensations of the Lord is pleased to appoint to bring us into from time to time to be made and kept graciously submissive to the will of God and to beg of him that the dispensation might be sanctified for our spiritual good and profit, that there might be some good to ensue. I've said before, and I feel the importance and the solemnity of it, that there are times in particular when one just merely to their feelings emerge out of difficulties and trials, just emerge out of it and feel to have no benefit. I do hope I shall be understood in this statement. I do not love dumb trials. I want to be favoured to feel nearness to the Lord and to be enabled by grace to follow the example we have here before us. Casting all your care upon him. My friends, it has a good issue. It has. This will humble you into the dust of self-abasement. And it will bring you to that spot and place to give glory to God. And you do not fall out with his dispensations when he brings you to that spot and place. But you are enabled by the grace of God to bless a taking as well as a giving God. And you know it needs more grace to be exercised to bless a taking God. Even if he takes away your health, your dear ones, or your friends, then it is a time of anxiety and care. Nevertheless, it is a mercy. There is provided a throne of grace. I do not know what we should do without the throne of grace. Yet we become so guilty often of neglecting to go to the throne of grace to cast our care upon him. But there are times when he brings one into that spot and place where the arm of flesh proves vain. Though we are appreciative, my friends, of loving care and attention, but when it comes to vital points, every prop sinks but Jesus Christ. What a mercy to find divine support to sustain under the mighty hand of God. Is there a poor person here this morning feeling to be walking in these things? And it possibly could be that you are walking under the hidings of God's face. Oh yes, friends, that makes it more difficult to negotiate when it comes to walking in a path where the Lord seems to hide his face. Do not forget this. The Lord's eye is upon you for good. Because if you are among this number, the poor and needy, and the humbled of his living family, the Lord cares for you. He loves you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. What a help it has been sometimes when you have proved it so. He cares for you in providence as well as in grace. Oh, I do feel, and you do feel, the need of grace to be given to be still and know that I am God. You see, my friends, our nature, if left to itself, is always working. And it would not be prudent for me to rehearse all that a person might be the subject of when they pass through these things. I'm only going round the outside of this. We are shown more deeply what we are by nature. And there is a showing of the need of the Lord Jesus Christ in his atonement. Well, friends, as I have stated, how we do need this gracious humility. And I will give you some knowledge as to how you may be humbled in a gracious way. That is to say, by the Spirit's operation in your heart, when you have a little view by faith of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your afflictions, poor child of grace, are light compared with his. When he gives you a pair of eyes that you may be enabled to look at things in the right light, our affliction is but for a moment. We cannot get here without the leading and influence of the Holy Spirit of God. No. We keep looking at our difficulties, unless we are led away from it by the Spirit of God. the sorrows or trials that you may be passing through. Without the influence of the grace of the Holy Spirit will not be profitable. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup and drank it right up. He said, when in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We do not get there often in life's journey. But what a mercy to be under his mighty hand and to be preserved in humble submission. I find that if he is to be kept there, it is impossible for the children of God to be kept in and of themselves to a spot and place where the Lord has brought them because of the counterpart that is within them. You see, we have been dealing of late, sermons have been delivered of late about the two principles, the principles of grace and the principles of sin, that is in a spiritual person. We heard the other evening about the new heart, the new spirit that the Lord is pleased to give. Why, my friends, I feel we would ever live here when we are in our right mind. But oh, what a conflict there is between the two. Now, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If this is exemplified in our life, pride will be subdued. You see, pride does creep in, does it not? And what a dreadful weed it is. Sometimes the Lord is pleased to take the top of it off, but the root is still there. There will be the need of the removing of the top until we come to the end of life's journey. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Therefore, he has a time that he has set to favour his people. They're often in a low place in their soul's experience, and they wonder where the scene will end. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The word "may," my friends, does not signify that there is any doubt about it. It is something that is appointed. It does not speak about any particular time, but when he does come, your exaltation will be in Christ Jesus. He will be, and he has been, exalted in your heart. He will have the preeminence there. I have thought much concerning what the Lord Jesus said to the two disciples who sought to have an exalted position in heaven. You see, they did not realize what they were asking for. And I wonder sometimes, my dear friends, I want to speak kindly and affectionately, but do we pray aright? Do we ask aright? Do we know what we are asking for? Well, you see, the test in time comes, does it not? What did the Lord Jesus say to them when they said, "We are able"? Able to do what? Why, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. this infers. I do not believe in this type of speaking concerning his sufferings. To be baptized means to be immersed, and this is to be led into the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If you have ever been baptized by the Spirit of God and have been the subject of the love of Jesus Christ to the extent where your body was ready to burst under a sense of that blessing and love of Christ upon your soul, you then was immersed in it. You see, my friends, we believe the time will come when you will enter into the liberty of the gospel and in measure the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this to be the means in the Lord's hands of establishing one more firmly in the truth. We have a key or a solution to what we are speaking of here. It says in the 10th verse, "The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Oh, what a favour. I say, what a favour to have such a hope, a sweet, blessed hope, that when we have done with time and temporal things, we shall enter into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. But here we have that which goes before. This is the means in the Lord's hands of preparation. After ye have suffered a while. Suffered a while? Yes. Make you perfect. Not in the flesh, no. Perfect, the work of grace. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Sometimes it may seem to be the reverse in your pathway. You say, "Oh, that I might be more settled in the things of God in my soul. I feel to be so unsettled." I understand what you mean. We have by this, as in the context, a way that is spoken of. So the Spirit of God is pleased to influence this in your experience. Now, friends, let us look at it squarely. There is a word here, casting all. All your care upon him. Oh, friends, does it not endear our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is the burden bearer of his children, that he allows them, permits, suffers poor sinners like me and you to be enabled to cast all our care upon him? For my dear friends, I do wish I could be favoured to live in this more, don't you? To be much in prayer. The Lord is still a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, and some of you here can testify to the goodness of the Lord that he is such. Now, he does it for his own name's sake. He does it to take to himself all the honour, glory, and praise from our souls. You know, we would be much more healthy and lively if we could but be privileged to live under his sacred influence. Beloved friends, there is in heaven a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a brother born for adversity. And he not only sees you, but he feels for you. He sympathizes with you. Oh, I do feel there is strength. There is fortitude for the mind, heart, and spirit. That is granted when the Spirit of God enables us to look into these things, to look to Him who makes intercession for His people in heaven. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So therefore, in this sense of the word, as you are enabled and helped to cast all your care upon Him, the Lord will see to it that you will receive attention from His blessed hands. Yes. Now, do you hope that you have from time to time taken no glory to yourself, but giving all the glory to God, receiving some answers to your petitions? I was thinking yesterday concerning the answers to our petitions. You know, it is not always straightforward. Oh no, it is not. Sometimes it is by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. Yet, my friends, He is a good, kind, and gracious God. He does not mean your destruction, your overthrow. He has brought you into this pathway whereby His help you are brought to complete dependence upon Him. Perhaps you have been requesting of Him that you might be privileged to have a closer walk with God. Oh, the many times I hope I have asked the Lord for this. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. This is it. Then I have to endorse the other verse. Return, O heavenly dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Well, friends, the mourning at times that is secret before God because of our heart sins, our heart wanderings, even after all the Lord, so we trust, has done for us. Now here then is this beautiful word. May the Lord help us to walk in this pathway, to see His hand. Oh yes. Casting all your care upon Him, little or much. There is nothing too hard for Him. Blessed be His dear and holy name. There is nothing too immense, nothing too small. No. Now, how do you and I live? By the grace and help of God, my friends, I believe ours is a life of faith, a life of dependence upon God. Well, the Lord has ordained that it should be so. Oh yes. But you see, friends, our natures do not like it. Faith approves it well. Yes, that part does. Casting all your care upon Him, the care of your soul. And what a care that is. I do hope it is. Oh, to be prepared for eternity. And not only that, oh, to be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Ever pray to be kept. Oh, my friends, we do need keeping every moment. Watch over me. Casting all your care upon him. Some of those things which you cannot speak of. Perhaps some of you have things that are of a private nature and character, things that are locked up in your breast. Cast them upon the Lord. He is no divulger of secrets. Bless his dear and holy name. If you have anything that is outstanding, I can tell you, the Lord can deal with it, and he can deal with it in mercy. I'm sure of this, he'll make his goodness pass before you in the way in due time. And then you may enter a little into the sense of what it is in the last clause, for he careth for you. Well, my friends, I have said, and I can endorse it. He sweetly smiles on a good-for-nothing, a hell-deserving sinner. Oh, to really feel and to have the witness of the Spirit that the Lord cares for you. Now this care that he has for you is because he loves you. And it was not, as it were, first began when you came into this pathway. We must look at the foundation. It was before the world began. We have the doctrine of predestination and election. You were chosen. In the covenant of God's grace, he careth for you. He careth for you to that extent that he wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have had to have an existence on earth and walk that particular path in order to prove he cared for you. Now this care, beloved friends, is an unchangeable care. Oh yes. What a wonderful mercy that is. That it is an unchangeable care. Now it presents itself to the mind concerning divine chastening. Do you know what this is? Have you ever walked in this pathway? Perhaps some of you feel to be under the mighty hand of God in divine chastening. Well, it is because the Lord cares for you. It is because he loves you that he chastens you. He chastens those whom he loves. I realize that you want something personal to be bestowed upon you. Some indubitable evidence that he cares for you. He will give you the witness. The lash is steeped, he on thee lays, and softened in his blood. If he did not care for you, he would leave you alone. We have these poor persons, and I've been in it. I've been in it today, my friends, under this particular thing. Has the Lord a controversy with me? Because I am under his mighty hand. Have you ever asked a question of that nature? Do you ever search your heart, or do you, as it were, just pass by it? Is there a cause why the Lord is chastening me? Well, my dear friends, we do want to be favoured, to have something real and solid and sober, do we not? Now, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, by nature, we cannot kiss the rod and Him that hath appointed it. We do need grace. You may have church anxieties and troubles. You may have family cares. You may have cares in diverse providences, in varieties of ways and manners. Well, may we be helped then to cast all our cares upon Him. Why should we doubt Him, my dear friends? You know, that is one of our besetting sins, in this unbelief of our hearts. Yes. Do you not come into spots and places in your little life where you may ask the question, not verbally, but before the Lord, can He furnish a table in the wilderness? Can He also give us water to drink? You may say, what do you mean by these statements? The Lord's providences. Some of you may perhaps be in a position where you need the Lord to go before you in your untrodden steps. And sometimes your pathway may be so confusing that you do not know what to do or where the seam will end. Well, the Lord is controlling everything, poor soul. He is. He is controlling it. For this will I be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. That is the way. May you be helped to continue to cast all your care upon Him. You try to manage it, do you not? I speak kindly. But we have a spirit of independency by nature. And if we are left, we shall live in independence of Him. In our right mind, how good it is to wait upon the Lord. May you be enabled to see His hand more stretched out for you. If you could be enabled to be in secret prayer before Him, I do believe it is the Spirit's work. And therefore, because of this point, that I might be favoured to have the operation of the Spirit and that indwelling in my heart continually. Oh, suffer me not to sin thee away to that extent where there is a withdrawing of thy unctuous power. Well, He will not drive you away from Him. All the while that you are enabled to cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Well, dear friends, in conclusion, we have in the Scriptures the care that He has over the sparrows. And you are of more value than many sparrows. In the ensuing year, as we may be spared, may you and I be privileged to continue to prove, because we cannot, we dare not deny what we hope, that the Lord does care for us. May you have some proof and some token for good. Then that will not only humble you, but fill your heart with thanksgiving and appreciation for the Lord's mercies. It truly would be a Thanksgiving Day, outstanding, if the Holy Spirit reveals to you that He cares for you. It would. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 277. Hymn 277, to the tune of St. Bees. Hymn 277. Now I see whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may He teach me to resign. Cast, He said, on me thy care, 'tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear, I will all thy needs supply. Hymn 277, tune St. Bees 494.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, do please, in mercy, cleanse anything that has been contrary to thy holy will. Do own and bless that which has been under thy divine direction and in accordance with thy holy will. Lord, get thee all the honour and glory, we pray. And now, Lord, do please watch over us during the interval. Oh, may we be brought up in the Spirit this evening hour. And may thy servant be brought amongst us with thy word to preach. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.